Hey everyone, it's your host of See Jurassic Right, Stephen Ray Morris here, just dropping in to say I hope you've been enjoying all the new episodes in 2023 and 2024 so far. There are new interviews with filmmakers, musicians, scientists, the screenwriter of Land Before Time, audio essays about the rich history of the Jurassic Park and Jurassic World franchise, and all the news about the upcoming animated show Jurassic World Chaos Theory, and the as-of-yet-untitled Jurassic World sequel coming next summer. I really need your help supporting the show right now, and you can do that by leaving a tip and or giving a monthly follow on Patreon, patreon.com/seejurassicright. There are $1 and $5 tiers, but more is coming. Sharing the show, giving 5-star reviews in Apple Podcasts, and liking and commenting on social, at Stephen Ray Morris on Instagram and Twitter, goes a long way to help boosting the show's visibility again online in this new era. I'm an independent podcaster, and your support is so important and means the world to me in keeping this podcast running. Link to the Patreon is in the show notes. Hold on to your butts. Thank you, and now on to the show.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
All right, everybody, welcome to See Westworld Right. It's Stephen Ray Morris here, and apologies for this coming late, but oh my gosh, I mean, I'm kind of glad I waited a day or two just because this weekend was a little bananas trying to, you know, everyone's trying to figure out how to record remotely and all that stuff. So everything's a little nuts, but, and this episode was nuts, and I loved it. I mean, wow, I'm glad I had the time to sit here and soak it in, because this is episode 2, season 3, The Winter Line. And just when I thought, last week, I think I was saying like, oh, I'm so glad we're going back to basics. No timey-wimey, no wibbly-wobbly. This episode definitely throws a few interesting things into the mix. And yeah, it was never going to be easy, but the folks at Westworld decided to throw a couple wrenches in, and this episode mostly focuses on Maeve and Thandi Newton's character and Bernard, Jeffrey Wright's character. We don't see Dolores or Caleb, one of our new heroes, as played by Aaron Paul. And yeah, I'm going to dive in again. I'm going to try and recap the episode as best I can, but for sake of simplicity, I'll probably just be jumping back and forth between which character's storyline we follow. But I mean, this episode was easy to follow, but it's just because I think that's, you know, when people think about season 2, and I think some of the problems with that season was sometimes it was just hard to follow what was actually going on. But this episode, I think, feels like season 1 in the sense that you know what's going on, but at the same time there's implications that you're just like, what, you know, just like, what is actually going on here? And that to me felt exciting. It to me resetting Maeve's journey, but almost thinking you are and then pulling the rug out from under was so exciting. And it's funny because I feel like I try not to read any reviews of the episode or any articles about the episode before I do this recap. So I watched the episode, I watched the sneak peek for the following week, and I watched a little behind the scenes that's included with the episode. And all this kind of plays in tandem in the HBO Now app. So, and also, obviously, before the episode starts, they play like a last time on Westworld. So I pretty much watch just that, and then I jump into this. Sometimes I'll look up, you know, like the Wikipedia for the episode, like I have now, if I just need to clarify any plot points or sort of characters' names or things like that. So anyway, the first episode ended with basically, it was a post-credit scene, I think, revealing that Maeve is in War World, that she's indeed in Nazi-occupied Italy during World War II. And what I like about the episode is that it's almost in the sense that you're like, okay, we've been here before. Maeve's been here before. She's going to wake up after being killed, and then she's going to fuck with the system and get out and or find her daughter or something like that. But not everything is as it seems. And so I think that's another thing of like what season one did really well is kind of getting you into these rhythms. And then what season one was great about was then changing it ever so slightly, pulling the rug out from under what you thought you knew, stuff like that. So I think this episode really achieved that in a really cool and fun way. And so I love the return of Hector, Rodrigo Santero as Hector. But again, it's like that thing of like, it's fun to be along with the character. In that sense, I think what happens a lot nowadays in media is this idea that you kind of know more than the main character. And so there's a lot of like dramatic irony involved in that. But sometimes it pulls the weight out of moments because you already know what's going to happen. And I think this episode really kind of puts you back in the shoes of Maeve and with her new 50s or 40s do. Hector's back. This time he's like a resistance soldier against, you know, maybe part of the Allies or something. What for me, one of the things that I loved about the Harry Potter books that the movies could never replicate is the passage of time and having these events happen over and over again. So it's playing with rhythm a lot. And I think I'm hoping that Westworld this season is going to be doing that more. I mean, see, again, and not to keep harping back to season one, but I really like that about season one. So also the thing I like about this episode is that it blows the lid off. So just more, this is going to be the bigger spoilers from here on out. What Maeve eventually learns is because she escapes kind of like the way she did in season one, but things are weird. It's like Lutz and Sylvester return and you're like, oh, great. Oh, they don't recognize her. And you're like, what's happening? And then all of a sudden, Lee Sizemore, Simon Quarterman's character, returns and he's like, I survived and I just have this limp and everything and I'm going to help you get out and go to the Forge, which is where at the end of season two, if you remember, that was where Anthony Hopkins' character, you know, the one of the creators, created a like Garden of Eden for the hosts. And so like a bunch, you know, I think Teddy is in there and Aki Akichta. And Maeve's daughter. And so they're safe. But at the end of season two, Dolores shot the coordinates somewhere, not to Delos, but to somewhere else. And what happens is that the way that it's triggered is that all of a sudden, because you think in this moment, it's like, oh my gosh, Lee like fell in love dying to save Maeve. But Maeve is like, this person would never fall in love with somebody like that and become obsessed with them. I love that as a reveal. And then you learn that Maeve isn't in Westworld, or she's in Westworld, but that is inside another simulation. And so a big chunk of the episode is her discovering that and trying to get out. And it involves a plot of like basically trying to overload the system and reveal who is trapped, where Maeve is trapped. And it very much reminds me of, you know, almost like The Matrix. It's very much like The Matrix. And, you know, there's a whole scene where basically the whole journey of her, her whole journey this episode is trying to just overload the system and find out where she actually is. So she's in Westworld or Warworld, inside of another simulation, and it's very much like the brains and vats sort of thing. I mean, it's much more like mundane almost, rather than like, you know, Maeve waking up in like a tube of jelly and stuff. But yeah, it's, I appreciate that they it almost watching this episode too, it was almost this fear of like, oh no, is Maeve going to be trapped in a simulation the whole season and is trying to get out? And in a way, I like that the episode busts the door down. And at the very end of the episode, I'm just jumping ahead. At the very end of the episode, Maeve wakes up and it's like, oh no, this is Serac. His name was mentioned in the first episode because there was the guy that played by Liam Gallagher Jr. that Dolores was trying to cozy up to access Reboban. I don't remember the real name of the thing offhand, but the giant AI dome thing that like is basically making LA better. It's not entirely clear, but essentially Serac, who's played by the very great Vincent Cassel, he was in, I'm trying to think of some really good movies he was in, History of Violence. No, not History of Violence. He was in the other Eastern Promises, the David Cronenberg film. But essentially, Serac built a simulation for Maeve because he thinks that Maeve was a threat to the human race, but actually it's Dolores. And instead, I think it worked in his favor, where he's like, well, now I want Maeve to work for me in order to kill Dolores, which actually syncs up with Bernard's journey, where at the end of episode one, he wants to go back to Westworld. And I really like that, you know, all theme parks have delays. And I think about Jurassic World and Claire's just like, we never reopen. And it's like, I don't know, stuff happens all the time at, you know, theme parks, and disasters happen all the time and stuff is reopened. And I kind of like, as Bernard goes back to Westworld, he, you know, it's almost just like, well, the park is open, but, you know, it's kind of a shadow of its former self. And, you know, it's kind of lost its luster a little bit. But, you know, you got to get those, you got to keep cranking out those sequels. You know, you got to get stuff back out there. And so he basically enlists the help of Stubbs. And I like that this was a big Luke Hemsworth episode. I love the idea that once he realizes he's a host, he's like, well, I just got to get on with it. You know, it's this kind of like blue collar kind of mentality of, there isn't this great existential crisis. It's more of like, well, how, you know, what's the practical side and how do I work this? Which is, Stubbs' character essentially goes back to his main directive, which was to help Bernard escape the park. Dr. Ford wanted Bernard to escape the park, but all of a sudden now Bernard is back at the park in order to find Maeve to fight Dolores. And Stubbs kind of doesn't know what to do with himself, but he helps Bernard anyway, which is, I think this episode was him trying to find Maeve, but also find out if Dolores has truly hacked his programming. And I think that little seed is planted for later. You know, there, both of these two episodes so far have Bernard worried that Dolores is actually listening in or something like that. And so we haven't gotten any indication that this is happening, but I think they're setting it up for later. And just got to jump into the biggest thing right now, which is right now there's Westworld, the Raj, which is the British colonialism world. There's Shogun World, War World, World War II World. And then it's revealed that the other world. So in the original Westworld, there was Westworld, there was Roman World, and there was Medieval World. And of course, the reveal is that there's a Medieval World, but it is a Game of Thrones world. In this big meta, what the fuck? Like, you just see, okay, you see, like, they show very kind of generic medieval stuff, and then you're like, there's one of the dragons from Game of Thrones. There is, I believe, Cersei's outfit. There's like just this very kind of, you just, I'm not kind of, I mean, it truly is. You see the some of the iconography from Game of Thrones. And I just think that is brilliant. And they actually have Benioff and Weiss, the creators of Game of Thrones, playing essentially like the Lutz and Sylvester kind of characters, like just people working down in the depths, you know, the grunts. But they're just kind of sitting at a table, like playing cards essentially with this giant robot host dragon. And I just was like, I think that idea of like, it's one of those things that I'm like, oh, this was so obvious. Like, of course, if they're going to have a medieval world, it's going to be Game of Thrones. It just It's such a cheeky, those cheeky bastards, Lisa Joy and Jonathan Nolan. And I'm sure HBO appreciated getting some more Game of Thrones imagery out of one of their in extending beyond the life of the show. I think it actually works better now that Game of Thrones is over, though. I think to have it be while Game of Thrones is going on would have been too meta, because then you're like, oh, wait, is Game of Thrones truly just is Game of Thrones just another theme park in Westworld, which is essentially they're saying, yes, it is. But then that makes me think, what if you go back and watch Game of Thrones and you're like, which characters are actually guests in the park going on an adventure? And then it is almost kind of like, because there's the books which aren't finished yet, and then the season's finished and Strang and the Paths, then it just makes me think that, like, oh, it's almost like HBO being like, well, look, you know, the Game of Thrones you saw was just, you know, one person's playthrough of the park. It's maybe not the definitive version. I don't know. It just opens all those doors. But I think it's just, I think if they did it during when Game of Thrones is going on, it would have been like, fuck you. But here I'm like, fuck yeah. Like, I'm into this. It's kind of hilarious. I don't know. What did you all think of it? As somebody who wasn't as emotionally attached to Game of Thrones, I think I'm privileged to have this perspective, because I just watched the last season of Game of Thrones without really watching the rest of the show. I watched like an episode here or there. So I was kind of just sitting back as more of an observer. But so for me, I kind of love this, but I don't know. I don't know if it's causing existential crises for Game of Thrones nerds right now, that Game of Thrones is just merely a park in Westworld's greater gallery of parks, so now we're only missing one park. And I get the feeling that we're not going to ever see it. I kind of hope that they keep it a mystery, that this sixth park is a mystery. But maybe we'll get a reveal next episode. But so anyway, back to the plots and stuff like that. But I mean, it's truly, that's it. It's Bernard looking for Maeve, and kind of this episode is almost like him gathering knowledge. And I love that. There's very much like a buddy comedy between, you know, Bernard, the sort of neurotic overthinker, and Stubbs, the sort of like, let's just get on with it. It's just very, like, they might as well have given Luke Hemsworth like a Chicago accent, like, we're hosts. What do you mean? What's the problem? I just got to do my programming, you know? I think that would have been a bit much, but him trying to find Maeve, but also getting prepped for the greater journey ahead, and then Maeve realizing that she's in a simulation because maybe this Vincent Cassell was testing her in a sense. Sirach was testing her and realizing that, well, it's kind of vague at the end. It's like, is she ready to help or be enlisted into Sirach, into Vincent Cassell's mission to stop Dolores? Or is Maeve still her own independent being? And I really like Maeve as a character because, unlike Dolores, I love Dolores, but it's almost like, I think the creators of the show are almost showing like two different sides. Well, and even with Bernard, like three different sides of a host journey. And I think Maeve is almost self-actualizing to be a fully independent person, fully rounded, and not wanting to be defined by being a host, by being part of this game. It's like, she's going to play the game and cheat the system. She's going to play the game, but also find loopholes and, you know, try and do her own thing. You know, she's going to have fun while doing it, which is what I appreciate about her. But also, again, this idea of not being defined by it. Whereas I think very much Dolores and Bernard, it's almost like their cornerstone, to use a term from season one and two, I guess, that, you know, they're very much defined by this fight and against hosts versus humans and what sides they can be on. It's very Princess Mononoke. This season feels very Princess Mononoke to me, which, if you don't know Princess Mononoke, I'm going to just keep saying it over and over again. Mononoke Hime. It's an anime. Oh, God. Sorry. I apologize for calling it an anime. It's an animated movie by Hayao Miyazaki, Studio Ghibli, and, you know, Spirited Away, My Neighbor Totoro, all the good boys, Kiki's Delivery Service, and Princess Mononoke, which I mentioned in a previous Westworld podcast, the end of season two, maybe, but Oh, yeah, because Bernard is also trying to figure out why Dolores kept him alive. And they talk about this checks and balances sort of thing. It very much reminds me of The Matrix, where it's like, you know, it's the idea, like the architect eventually says in Reloaded, that like this balance of keeping some humans alive keeps the robots in check. And so they're kind of riffing on that same thing. And with Princess Mononoke, there's all these kind of forces. There's the, you know, the, it's very much like, you know, any story where it's like humans are destroying nature and nature's trying to fight back. And there's all these different forces all kind of fighting the same battle against each other, but for different reasons and stuff. And so I like that we have Bernard wanting to get to Maeve. We have Maeve wanting to get out. We have, and everyone, and also in Serac, who wants to take down Dolores, and Dolores, who wants to take over the world, and Caleb, who's just like, he's the Charlie in the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I'm just happy to be here.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
It feels like, again, because this season's only 8 episodes, so we're already six. We only have 6 episodes left, so you know things are going to be happening quickly. But I also appreciate that they are spending time with the characters, and I know people don't really enjoy this mode of kind of only focusing on 2 storylines. It's very, again, like later seasons of Game of Thrones, where like we didn't get any Dolores or Caleb this season. So some people feel shortchanged for development, but also the reality is that these episodes are like an hour, you know, a little over an hour long, or about an hour long. And I don't feel shortchanged. Like, yes, I wonder what Caleb and what Dolores are up to, but also I appreciate that we really get to soak in the, I think if you're jumping too much back and forth, you don't get to really know what these characters are feeling and thinking as it's happening to them. And instead it's just plot pushing forward. In this mode, I think it's doing it better though than season 2 in a way. I think it's focusing more on the emotional journeys. I think it makes everything more immediate. So you're not necessarily thinking about what Dolores is up to, because we don't really know what Dolores is up to other than kill all humans. So like I was never sitting there during the episode like, what is Dolores up to? You know, we last left her bleeding in Caleb's arms and possibly, you know, purposefully like her running into Caleb. And so, yeah, I think that they've figured out a little bit of what I think this season 3 is kind of just a mix of season 1 and 2, but I think in all the best ways. And yeah, I mean, I feel like there's not really much else to say. I mean, I do want to keep these things a little bit short, but we're already at like 20 minutes, 22 minutes. But what did you think of the episode? Do you like that Game of Thrones is part of Westworld? Like, I really do curious if anybody's, I wonder if now people are starting to map out. Yeah. Like if Game of Thrones was the whole season of the show was just the park narrative, what are the twists and turns that the non-host did in order to change the books, you know, to the show and that kind of thing? And do you like the structure of this show so far? Are you excited about what's to come? I do like this. I don't know. This episode was great because I feel like it created a lot of new questions that are like fun and interesting, where, again, not to belabor it, but, you know, season two, it's like, I just want to know what's going on. But this, I'm like, oh my God. It's, you know, when Lee Sizemore starts to glitch out, you're just like, no way. And I do like that in the first episode, they kind of make fun of the idea of like a simulation in a simulation. But I think it's used for a different purpose here. And I like that they were able to sort of justify the return to the park and show us some new things without it being, again, it was kind of like a little prestige, kind of a little switcheroo. You think that this is going to be like this, but I mean, who knows? I might be wrong. And maybe Maeve decides, I mean, they've already, spoilers, but they've already like shown, I think even in the original teasers, they show Maeve with like a samurai sword all disguised as an assassin. So it's like, we know that Maeve isn't just going to be trapped in the simulation of Westworld the whole season. So, yeah, I think this episode opened up season three a bit. And I feel like next episode, I watch the teaser and I think the mystery of who Tessa Thompson's character is inside, because as the season two ended, it's revealed that she, the actual Charlotte Hale, the head of Delos, was killed. And Dolores put a new host brain inside of her. But who that is, we don't know yet. And what is Bernard's endgame? Like, now he has a full-time bodyguard with Stubbs, which I'm so excited about. I was like, no, please don't let Stubbs die at the end of this episode, die for real, and then not have him anymore. I like this idea that now, because Bernard has been on the run, but now he has, like, a bodyguard. And so I'm just excited for that buddy comedy and everything that's to come. So, man, Dolores, what are you planning? Let me know what you think she's planning, guys, because I don't know. Anyway, I hope next week I can watch it on Sunday with y'all and post quicklier, you know, as soon as it happens. So we'll see. But again, I hope everyone is staying safe, staying cozy, staying indoors, self-distancing, all that good stuff, but staying sane. Please, everyone, stay sane. I need all of you to stay sane for me, so thank you. And I can't wait till next week, so cheers. Oh, coming back in to say Costa Rica. What? Reference Jurassic Park? Somebody mentions the dragon being sold to a buyer in Costa Rica. Now, obviously, Jurassic Park doesn't take place in Costa Rica, but that's such a very specific reference to the fact that Costa Rica is the closest place to Jurassic Park. It was very specific. I'm curious if it's merely a reference or if we're going to learn more later. Who can say?
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.